Good morning, friends and brethren. So good to see you here this morning. Glad to see each one. Glad to have some visitors with us again today, too. We are at the end of the year again. It goes faster every time. And today, the last Sunday of 2018, tonight we're actually planning a singing, not our regular singing and devotional time, but just a singing tonight, singing our way into 2019. So maybe this morning we look at praying our way into 2019. Someone said, persistent prayer is the earnest movement of the heart toward God. I thought that was interesting and perhaps descriptive. When we pray to God, it is that. It is that effort of moving nearer to God. The psalmist said this, those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 9 and verse 10. We are the people of God, and we should be a people of prayer. Prayer has always been an important part of the relationship of man with God. Prayer is our means of conversation with God. It is our way of acknowledging His being and His greatness. It is a means of giving Him thanks and giving Him glory. And it is as well a means of making petition for our needs and as we address a great and powerful God. And so when we think about prayer in that way, we might see prayer as an incredible opportunity. The blessing of prayer is that of having an audience with God, the Creator of all things. And to me, that's something hard to comprehend. The idea that when we pray, it is God who is listening to us. He gives us a connection with Him. And God wants us to call on Him. Look at a couple of passages from Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Remember what Jesus said in verse 8? Therefore do not be like them, making a reference to those who just prayed vain repetitions. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. Then someone says, if that's the case, then why do we pray to God if He already knows before we ask? Chapter 7, beginning at verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? God wants us to come to Him in prayer. God wants us to ask the things we need. Prayer reminds us of the blessing that we have of communicating with God. Prayer reminds us of our position before God, that we are in the place of requesting, God is in the position of granting. It reminds us even of what James says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We should be compelled then to go to God when we have issues, when we have concerns. We go to Him when we need help in this life. Prayer is an incredible opportunity. And the power of prayer is also something hard to fully comprehend. That we have the ability to influence the mind of God is something that's overwhelming to me. We might think about in the days of Moses, the prayers that Moses made on behalf of the children of Israel time and again. At times when they were sinful, at times when they had moved away from God, and God would petition God. Moses would petition God. Prayer that literally saved them from destruction at times. When God could see a contrite heart in the people and be moved by that. Prayer has that kind of power. Jesus prayed to the Father often, and His disciples saw that. They were witness to the importance of prayer. Even before the establishment of the church, disciples were gathering in Jerusalem and they prayed. We're looking at Acts chapter 1. You might recall that after the ascension of Jesus into heaven, Jesus told his apostles to wait there in Jerusalem. And indeed they did with the other disciples that were there. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 14 it says, "Then all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." Indeed, we can only imagine wondering what was next. What would God lead them to do next? And when it came time to replace Judas with another apostle, it was the Lord who chose, and it was in their prayer in verse 24 that they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of men, show us which of these two you have chosen." And so we see the significance of prayer among the disciples. In Acts chapter 2, after the establishment of the church, there's a few verses there in the latter part of the chapter that give us some inclination, give us some insight as to what the church did. And in verse 42, "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers." I wouldn't be surprised about that. It doesn't surprise me to read that, because when I think about the disciples, those who had been with Jesus, those who were teaching about Jesus, and now those who were coming to draw near to Jesus, of course they were praying, even as we should be praying. Prayer should be just as important to Christians today as it was to disciples long ago. And confidence, that we can have confidence in prayer. Look to Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, a passage that gives us some insight to Jesus, His character. Hebrews chapter 4, we begin at verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." It tells us, and it reminds us, that we have a high priest who knows our weaknesses, who knows the temptations that we face, because Jesus faced problems too. He faced difficult times as well. And having stood firm in time of trial, He has proven to be an advocate for us and has become a mediator before God on our behalf. When we pray, we can have confidence that He is interceding, that He is that mediator before us. Having confidence does not mean that we come to God demanding He answers our prayers in the way we think they should be answered, but that we know He has ability to hear and to respond to our requests. And God will. God will respond to our prayers if we ask, if we pray in the mind that we should have, the right purpose in prayer. As we saw, God already knows our needs, and He knows what is best for His people. And when we pray, we need to keep that in mind. It may be too often when we pray that our will be done. Sometimes when we pray, it almost would seem like we have a bucket list of things that we want to pray for and things that we ask for and things that we want to take place. And we lose sight of God's will on that matter. We need to be reminded of the order of some things. We're looking at 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14, beginning, the apostle says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." When we pray according to the will of God, when we ask for things in the way that we should, remembering who we are and the one to whom we pray, indeed, He hears our prayers and He answers our prayers. It's interesting that those answers don't always come in the way or form that we think they should come. In fact, sometimes it might seem that we get exactly opposite of what we pray for. Doesn't mean God didn't hear our prayers. Doesn't mean that He didn't answer. But when we pray according to His will, He will answer in what way is best for us. As a church, as a collective body of God's people, we have many things to pray for. And knowing the power of prayer and the confidence that we can have in God, we should be anxious to pray together for matters that we know are important, for things that we know are needed. We've done that even this morning. And there's great significance in the idea of disciples coming together, praying and petitioning God. We might pray for opportunities to teach those who are searching for truth. When we start thinking about what should we pray for, what about this? Why don't we pray for those, for opportunities that we can be effective in teaching? And sometimes maybe we're not as strong at this as we should be. Maybe lacking boldness to go out and to talk to our friends and our neighbors about things important, that are spiritual things. When the disciples were being introduced to opposition to their faith long ago, it's interesting to me that they prayed for boldness. We're looking at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. It's not like we are the first ones to come along as disciples of Christ that face opposition, that face those who would think ill of us because of our faith, maybe even those who would want to harm us. But when the disciples long ago faced that opposition, it's interesting to see that they prayed. And as they prayed, this is when Peter and John had been arrested, but they are now released and they've returned to the brethren, and they prayed together. Acts chapter 4, we're going to read several verses. I hope you'll follow along. Acts chapter 4 and verse 24. And when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord, and they said, "Lord, You are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of Your servant David have said, 'Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and their rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly against Your holy servant Jesus, whom You have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever Your hand and Your purpose determined before to be done. And now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to Your servants that with all boldness they may speak Your word by stretching out Your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Your holy servant Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." Maybe that should encourage us, make us think about prayer and our prayer together, that we may have a heart for teaching the lost, that may be something within us that we have a great desire and drive to do. We should pray for strength, for boldness, for a spiritual revival even in the hearts of the people of God, that we may seek truth and we may want to take it to other opportunities for teaching. And pray fervent prayers for this church, that this church will be all that God would want and expect it to be, that we are the ones who should be setting the example to the world, that we should be the light in the community. With so many roads to choose from, so to speak, so many different ways in life that we can go, we need the strength to turn the right way. Jesus said it so simply in Matthew chapter 7, and beginning in verse 13, "Enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in through it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. We are not in a position to think that we are above temptation, to think that we could never be drawn in the wrong direction, that we might not be tempted to go through the broad gate where everyone else is going. But sometimes we have to be reminded and remind each other that we have to work to enter in that narrow gate. Now we should pray. We should pray that we will be honest with ourselves, that we will look at what we do. We should look at how we live and become more focused on righteous living. Pray that we will give more time to spiritual endeavors, give more time to meditation and reading. Dedicate ourselves to this goal in such a way so that our faith will grow. We should pray that God will help us do that. Pray for a greater focus on our work in the kingdom of God, individually and collectively. We can pray for those things. We should pray for those things. Pray for a greater understanding of our purpose of being on earth to be God's people. We should pray fervently for the church. Pray that the church will be that light to the world, the light for others to see the way of Christ. In a very dark world, we should be the ones that stand out, who give some hope and direction of where God would want all to go. There are those who are seeking the way to a better life, looking for a means to leave sin and to walk with the Lord. There are those so inclined, and we may very well be the tool that God uses to shine His light in a dark and sinful world. But first, we have to get our lives together. Our life has to be in order to make sure that we are walking in the light as He is in the light. Only then can we have fellowship with Him. Then God expects us to be in a position to be that light in the world. This world needs more light. Light that is coming from the Word of life. A light that is shining the way to Jesus. That's being a description of Christ. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. The apostle said, "Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, and I have not run in vain or labored in vain." I hope that we will radiate just that way, that the word of life can be seen in us, that Christ can be seen in us. And you know, we should pray for those who stumble in faith. We all have times where we face difficulties. We all struggle. We are all tempted. And yet we cannot let Satan gain control. We have so much to lose. So much to lose if we turn away from the one who has offered us life. Would you look with me to Hebrews chapter 3? Hebrews chapter 3. Here's the warning the writer gives. Verse 12. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhorting one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, 'Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of the rebellion.'" He's saying, hold on, to take heed, to not depart, don't turn away, but instead exhort one another, he says, to beware of the deceitfulness of sin, to not be fooled, and do not harden our hearts. That's what he's saying. And we need to pray for our own behalf, that we don't turn away. At the same time, we've noticed that there are several missing from among us who are struggling in faith, and that we need to pray from them. For those whose faith has been under attack, for those who are struggling in faith, those who've become weakened in faith in such a way that they have turned and they've been drawn away from the Lord. All of us need to be encouraged. All of us need to be strengthened. Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 is interesting to me. When he was praying for the Christians in Ephesians chapter 1, specifically, he was praying that their faith may be increased. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." See, this was his prayer for the Christians, the disciples, that they would be encouraged, enlightened, that their knowledge would be increased to draw closer to God. And we should pray for those who have wandered away, those who have left the faith, that they may return to the fold. Not that they would be saved in their sins, but that they would love the Lord more than anything this life has to offer, that they would repent of their sins and return to Him. And then, maybe there should be special prayers for those who grieve and suffer. We can all relate, because undoubtedly we have all been touched by the loss of family and friends. And this coming year will offer the same sadness. It's going to happen again, that there'll be those among us, maybe ourselves, that will face some difficult days because of loss. It's sobering to think that in all likelihood, we may lose members this year of our own number by death. And we all know that pain, that loss, and we all grieve. And there are other issues of life that affect us. Those who are dealing with the pain of sickness and disease that destroy the bodies of our loved ones. Or maybe we are afflicted with disease that destroys us. And it's hard to see loved ones that were once so healthy and so vibrant who've been taken down and destroyed by disease. But that's what happens to this physical body, and it's hard to see. And sometimes there are those situations that are just so very difficult and painful to us. I know of a Christian couple, who are dealing and have been dealing for several years with disease that has just ruined the body of one of their teenage daughters. She won't be much longer for this world. And it's just been so hard to see how they have tried everything they can to ease her pain, to increase her life in some way, in a favorable way. But the disease will win with the physical body. In the last 2 weeks, I have known of one Christian couple who has lost an infant son because of a physical problem. And just in the last few days, another couple who has lost a 2-year-old child to accident. These things happen. And we know how real that is. We've experienced loss and grief here. And there are those among us who are still trying to deal with the loss of loved ones. And it's never easy. And in the coming year, we don't know who will face tragic circumstances, who will be afflicted with disease, who will deal with the loss of loved ones, or which ones of us may die. We may find that we are the ones who need the support of our brethren in prayers to help us through the dark days of life, because these things happen. The relationship of Christians with one another is unique. It is special. And there is a bond that runs very deep, a love that is genuine. And in so many ways, when one hurts, we all feel that pain and we all hurt. And so for whatever reason a brother or sister is suffering, we keep them in our prayers. And we should pray because the love that we have for one another is real. It is deep. And we are touched deep in the heart when others suffer. Someone suggested that we should learn to love one another fervently. And we should. It was one of the apostles who said it that way. It's demonstrated in part on how we deal with one another when there are needs, when there are difficulties and sufferings. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 22, Peter wrote, "Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Unfeigned love is the idea of genuine, sincere love. That we need to love one another fervently. And because of that love, we pray for each other. And as we pray for our brethren and help them to face circumstances that they are dealing with, we are building that love. And as we seek to serve those who grieve or suffer, as we pray for those who have struggled in faith, those who have fallen down, when we think about the work that we should do collectively as a church, individually, seeking the lost, these are all important things for us to pray for. And as we come into the beginning of a new year, who knows what the year will hold for us, individually, collectively? Who knows what the year will bring for us? But whatever we have to face, we can do it better. We can do it more effectively when we have a relationship with God in prayer. And it means we need to pray more. We need to pray together. And as we begin this new year in just a couple of days, let's be reminded of those things. And even right now, would you pray with me? Our Father, as we come to the end of this year, we realize that we have so much to be grateful for. You have been so kind to us. You have blessed us in so many ways. Our needs have been met day by day and exceeded. And your love for us has been evident in ways of even greater importance than the physical needs. As we have studied this year, we have become reminded more and more of your love for us to save us. To save us and to give us a hope of life that is eternal with you in heaven. And our Father, for these things, we are so grateful. Words cannot even express how happy and how thrilled we are to be called your children and to have an eternal hope. Our Father, as we begin a new year, we come to you, Father, with confidence, knowing that you hear our prayers and that you know who we are and that you will seek to satisfy our needs. Our Father, we pray that you will help us to have a teaching heart and give us the boldness to be able to say things that we need to say to our friends and our family, to people that we meet along the way, so that they can know and understand of our hope for eternity, and help us to share that with them. We pray that we will be ready and that we will be willing to stand with truth and to speak it to all who will listen. And our Father, we pray for this church, that we will always seek truth and that we will accept nothing else, that we might walk in the path of our Lord and seek His ways even when the world seeks an easier path. And we pray, our Father, that in the midst of a sinful world that we may stand out in a good way, that we will shine as lights holding up the word of life, and that in that process that you will be glorified when we walk in your ways. And our Father, we are mindful And we pray for those who are struggling in faith. Those of our own number, when we look among us, those who have fallen down. We pray that they will seek to be lifted up and that they will be encouraged and that we will know the right things to say, that we can be helpful to them to find their way to the narrow path. Help us look for those who are in need of help in their faith, and help us to be mindful of their needs and to be close by so that we can help. Our Father, we pray for those who are grieving, those who have suffered loss, those who are facing difficult days with their own health or the health of loved ones. We pray for their strength. Strength to be able to endure hard days. And we pray, Father, that they will find days of comfort and relief. Our Father, we pray for our own faith, that you'll help us to see our own weaknesses, our sins. We pray, Father, that you'll bless us with humble hearts, that as we see our sins, we will repent of them quickly. And as we repent, we pray that you will forgive us. In Jesus' name, amen. I know of no better way for anyone to end this year and begin a new year than to do so in Christ. For those who have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, there'd be nothing better to do than this day to become a child of God. You believe Jesus is the Son of God, and you are willing to repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized for the remission of sins, you can begin your life today as a child of God. Nothing could be greater. If you've struggled in faith and you've fallen down, the Lord is there to help pick you up, and so are we. Can we help you in some way to obey the gospel? Would you come as we stand and sing?